What's happening, all you dudes and dudettes? This is Dudes Talking Freedom back at you once again. This is Luke.
And this is Jeremy.
And we want to thank you for joining us on the Dudes Talking Freedom podcast. We're brought to you by Warriors for Freedom, a nonprofit that creates pathways to engage service members, veterans, and their families to prevent suicide, foster camaraderie, and help them live their best lives. Check them out at warriorsforfreedom.org. All right, folks, it's voting season again here in Texas, and we have Aileen Blakowski here to discuss why she is running for Republican Precinct Chairperson for Denton County Republican Precinct Chair 1016. We'll be talking freedom, politics, and whatever the hell else we want to talk about. So let's get into it, shall we?
You absolutely killed that intro.
Did I?
You killed it.
It was a mouthful.
It was amazing.
It was a lot. That's a heck of a title.
It was.
Yeah. Should you win... Would it be the longest title you've ever carried?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Unless I put all my kids' names in a row, mom of, and then all the kids' names. But right. It would be really close.
Yeah.
So yeah. You have six kids, huh?
I do.
Oh, my word. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you. Can you fit them all in one car?
We used to be able to, but we sold the big truck and I missed my SUV.
Your Sprinter van?
Yeah. I didn't have one of those. I just had a big SUV.
Yeah.
I miss my truck.
Yeah. I can understand that.
I'm a Ford girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I like trucks.
I drive
something
Ford truck,
big. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you're out there on top of your
trucks
horse with your, you know, with your knight, you know, you're out there jousting out there on the freeway out on 380 and I-35 and wherever you're at, you know, you kind of want to have a big horse.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree 100%. I mean, I think I've said this before. I had a lot of truck envy when I moved down here to Texas. Lots of truck envy. There's so many badass trucks out there on the road.
Yeah. I'm a some weird nice girl ones. Because I still have truck envy because I sold my big truck before we left California and I didn't buy another one when we got here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love those dealerships where they just have just straight jacked up trucks everywhere. You know, like they buy them from the dealerships and they bring them in and they jack them up, put the biggest tires on them. Mm-hmm. So they're still street legal and then you still can't take them to Dallas Cowboys Stadium and drive over old cars and through, you know, a dirt bike track, basically, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
And then they sell them.
Yep.
You know,
they got them parked out. They got them parked out front of the dealership on like up on these like ramp, the rocks that like are, it's basically a plastic ramp, but it makes it look like rocks. And they're just up on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Yeah.
Trucks.
They do a pretty good job with the advertising. A
lot of posers.
AKA the brainwashing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
you want this truck because it can climb rocks. You're never going to climb rocks with it, but you can if you need to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Consumerism, right? Yep. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's all chasing
us.
It. Yep. Chasing it really is.
Killing
it pretty much is, and we know it, but we just want more.
I'm doing my part. I'm backing off my consumerism.
Yeah.
I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
What steps have you been taking to back off your consumerism, Aileen?
You know what? Honestly, I took part in this ministry starting January 1st, and it was all about living like contemporary asceticism.
Okay.
So legitimately, I like haven't had my hair professionally done and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
No unnecessary shopping.
Okay.
Toning down the things you do with your family, make it more family focused time where you're really interacting with one another and not like going out and spending.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting start to the year already.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I would imagine so.
You can pursue more experiences rather than material things. Yeah,
it does. And you know, I have adult kids and this is a great time to be in touch with your adult children, talking about all the things like even voting, for example.
Oh yeah.
But they need to know what's going on in the world. They're pretty in touch. They're pretty awake and we have great combos. And
yeah, that's
so
great.
It's good. The check-ins.
Yeah. They're still teaching you and you're teaching them and exchange of information. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Getting out in front of your community, gathering that information, gleaning the good stuff and becoming a better person because of it. Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty much what you'll be doing, with Precinct Chair 1016, right? Like, kind of the glue that keeps, everybody together. Is that pretty much what, that position entails?
Well, it is what you make it, really. There are a lot of precincts in any county and any state that don't have anybody serving in them. Mm-hmm. It's all voluntary and it's all party specific. So it is what you make it. But ideally, what you're supposed to do is help to get out the vote for your party platform or party you know, your candidates or, you know, whatever's going. But in Denton County, you know, there's a lot of issues. And so there is someone sitting in this position now. I really didn't intend for it to be a contest, but I do have a great passion for getting out the vote. I do block walk. I have no problem knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, and introducing.
Yeah, I saw you today out front of my house. I was like, oh, there's Aileen.
I know. I was, you know what? I had a great time right here close to home. I've been doing other neighborhoods that weren't like right here near me. But it's been fantastic to get to meet the voters in our community and find out what's important to them. They generally are very happy that somebody came by, and all I'm bringing them, and you got one today. It just says, hey, did you know that the primary election is coming?
Yeah, it's information.
Yeah, it's March 5th. Yeah. I'm here to serve, really. That's the whole point. I just want to make sure you know where to vote, when to vote, and how to vote. Like, you can vote early. You can vote on the day. You can vote here or there.
You can vote for whoever you want. Just get out and vote.
Right? Vote on a boat.
You
know,
you obviously can. Vote for you, but.
Well, and that's what I tell them. I'm like, hey, intention. I'm on the ballot too. I'm on the last contest on the ballot.
And this one's, I mean, we're all creatures of habit, right? Like, and the local elections have been kind of May oriented, and this one's a March one, right? So this is kind of out of character. It doesn't happen all the time in March, right? But
right, because this is the lead up to a presidential election, and so this is a lead up to the big general election. Mm-hmm. And so you have the primary in March. If there's a need for a runoff, that will happen in May. So that we also have school board elections in May, so the local and municipal, and then we have the general coming up. So there's a lot of elections.
November.
Pivotal year, 2024.
Man, what a big year. What a big year for voting and, you know, trying to change this country for the better, because right now it ain't looking so good.
And that's the whole reason why I'm getting out there, frankly. You know, I have a lot of energy. I have six kids, but I still have more gas in the tank. And so I get it. My mom comes with me. She's 90 years old.
She walks. I met her today.
She's out walking at 90. Every day. That's blessed.
Every day.
What's her secret?
Walking every day.
Yeah.
And a little Jameson.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah. Hey, whatever and takes
laughter.
Care of you.
Yeah. Laughter and faith. Yeah. I think that's what she would say.
That's
but,
great.
But, you know, it is about making our communities better. And when we all engage and we all participate in the process, we're going to get the outcome we deserve. When we don't participate in the process, we get the outcome we deserve.
Yeah.
If we don't like what's going on out there, engagement is the key.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we do what we do. We like to bring people on and give them a platform to talk about that kind of thing and hopefully be able to help them reach some more people, you know?
Because our kids won't listen to us, so maybe some other people will.
Yeah, our kids don't know just shit. Just kidding. But yes, exactly. Right.
Like, Mom, I gave up on my children, and now I'm just going to talk to the microphone, you know?
Yeah, our kids are younger.
No, they're all good kids. They're good kids.
I was going to ask you, so like, the new thing that you're doing with your family and like kind of just being closer and talking, like, did you find that was a challenge in earlier years because of the different ages, like the younger ones maybe are just like you said, they're mostly like teens and adults now. So they're like able to have those kind of intellectual conversations, you know, an 8-year-old kind of tough. And we'd struggle with having those kinds of discussions with an 8-year-old, you know?
Oh yeah. But you'll find that as your olders get older,
yeah,
those younger ones are picking up everything, right? Yep. That's in the environment. And so our 10-year-old is, she's very aware of what's happening in the world. She's very mature.
Yep.
She's very articulate.
Okay. Right on.
And it's been great for our marriage and everything. I mean, we literally like every Sunday night, it's like we have a marriage retreat and we watch a video that it's like a positive marriage topic and questions we can talk about. And it's very intentional and
cool.
It's been good for a lot of things.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, you have to work at anything if you want something good to come of it. You got to put some work into it. So that's great that you guys have taken that step for your marriage.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good because, you know, you just, you know, you get on a roll. You know how it is. It's just like the gears are grinding and the kids' needs are high, especially when they're younger.
Yeah.
And so as they start to get older, you start looking around going, hey, what do I know about you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I should get to know you again.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously. Well, we're always changing. Yeah. Just like our taste buds every 2 weeks, right? Like you get new taste buds.
Yeah.
So you better try that spinach.
Yeah.
Even if it's canned, just give it a try.
It's definitely up there. You know, the changes that take place in your, just the way you are as a person mm-hmm. over time, you know, and kids definitely changes that because you think differently. You have to operate a little differently depending on how many you have. That is a huge factor. And you know, work, all of the things that like kind of take away from the connection and,
yep.
you know, getting that connection back, I think is super important. I think families are missing that today. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. The family needs to take back its mission mm-hmm. in every way, yeah. in every way. Parents need to, like you're saying, keep those connections really strong. There's nothing better for a kid than a mom and a dad mm-hmm. who are in a secure marriage.
Yep.
And those kids have no fear of ever losing that security.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Those and they know workers. What to look for when they get older. You know right. what I mean? They get to look for something that, you know, mimics or mirrors what they yep. grew up in so that they can continue that like tradition.
Confidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Confidence. It's all about confidence.
Yep. It is. So if there's any privilege out there, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic situation is or your yep. race, a secure two-parent family is
yeah.
the number one. Privilege
yeah.
mm-hmm. a kid
yeah.
can have.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's, you know, a lot of people that have a view on the world that's more government centric, you know, like socialism or communism, their aim is to break up that nuclear family. They mm-hmm. do not want that to occur because that's essentially their biggest combatant, you know, and people yeah. don't want to adhere to government standards. They want to adhere to their own standards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what, you know, America or the United States was, you know, supposed to be founded upon, right? Like, and we've certainly swayed away from that with the advent of pop music and the entertainment industry in general. I mean, we just saw, Taylor Swift all over the Super Bowl, right? And then after the Super Bowl, with her,
you know, I just want to watch football.
Devil worshipping friend in her. In her little box, her sweet, Ice what Spice. Was that girl's name? Ice Spice? Spice.
I was told, my Did son told me girl? It was Ice Spice, yeah.
She's like, I didn't know.
She was flashing devil like horns on her fingers, and then she had like an upside down cross on her like shirt. And she like showed it, like made it like pretty visible.
She had a Balenciaga dress on.
Well, I mean, that explains a lot like, too. But yeah, really? She was sitting right behind really? Taylor Swift, like a couple seats over, same box. Like they're hanging out together.
Yeah, sure. It was like T Swift is taking shots with her buddy. You know, she's over there doing all this like
yeah.
prayers to Satan is what it looked like.
That's I mean, what it
basically
like.
Looked like she was praying to
Witchcraft
Satan in
is what
the
it
box.
Like to me.
And then Travis and Taylor go out and got kicked out of Gordon Ramsay's restaurant.
They yeah. did?
I read that today. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
because they were sloppy drunk is what apparently Gordon Ramsay said, but I don't know. I haven't asked Gordon himself,
yeah.
you know.
I think I'm happier for not knowing.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just what your head is filled yeah. up with, you know, and this
is
the type of crap
yeah.
that's taking up all your time and taking away from what's most important, which is your family, you know,
yeah.
and I'm right. sorry for stealing that from you guys for yeah. the last three.
That's okay.
3 minutes.
No, you know, right. well, you know what? It's
you made a great point. Yeah.
There's a book, you guys have been into books lately, but there's a book called It Takes a Family. And I love it because it talks about the family being the first cell of society, right?
Yeah.
So it's the first building block of society. It's the first economy in society. Something else you guys are really into. Mm-hmm. First economy. So economy really is designed to support the family. Mm-hmm. And it always has been. And there's great dignity in work, which is why socialism never should be a thing.
Yeah.
Because it strips the individual of their dignity to provide for themselves. And, you know, when you have a secure family, you raise them up with this idea and this understanding, then, you know, you beget more capable citizens who understand how to put together more healthy cells of a society. Think about it like a body, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You have broken cells, broken body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good cell division. Yeah, it actually makes sense, ton of sense. Like that slow buffalo, you know, you got to cut that thing off, let the tiger eat it or whatever, you know, the bobcat in our, you know, like that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the circle of life, right? Like, so don't be the weak link.
Yeah.
Or you'll get eaten by some, you know, global elites in some kind of sacrificial manner.
He's still back at the Super Bowl.
Seriously.
He's still over there.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sorry. I really got triggered.
Vegas.
Yeah. I really got triggered doing that.
What happens in Vegas?
It's great.
He should have stayed in Vegas.
It should have. Left it. It really should have.
Can't let it go.
That's all good. This is a great... So I looked at your flyer that you were handing out. It's great because you talk about what's a precinct chair, how you can serve. You know, it's you did a good job. It was very well thought out. A little bit about yourself, who you are, and... all the details of like how to go vote. This is like, you know, good. Well put together.
Well, thank you.
This is like, by the way, first time I've gotten something like this since I've lived here from anyone.
That's what most people are saying.
Yeah. Now, like I didn't even know we had a precinct chair that covered our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I thought like the precinct chair role was, quite honestly, I thought it was like a regional thing. Like I thought maybe there was like a dozen of them in Texas. And like, so like one person would cover like the DFW area, you know? And I just, that's just what I thought. Yeah. I had no idea it was at this granular level. Yeah. And it, you know, it's important to have the people that you, that live around you to understand all of these things. And I think people take these roles for granted. I think that they just kind of like are like, oh, hey, cool. I want to be like a precinct chair and then just maybe like get popular in the area. And then you.
And then run for governor.
Take the role. Yeah. And then, well, next thing you know, you're like.
A jump.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's like, all right, well, maybe I could run for like a, you know, I've schmoozed with the right people. I've rubbed elbows with the right people. I've been at the right parties with the right people. And I've agreed to do the right things with the right people. And so like maybe next is like a Senate seat, you know, like that's to me is it's awful. Like that it's like that everywhere.
Yeah, it's just a ladder. Yeah. You know, this is it really is. It's a servant's role, really is, because, and you have to understand too, how the Republican Party is sort of ordered here in Texas, because unlike other places, I moved from California and, it was like, you had to pay your dues to even get a seat at the table to file your stuff and to run and to even be considered for something like that. This is very different. The Republican Party of Texas is very much a grassroots organization. They love the bottom up approach. Yeah. And so there was a lot of encouragement in the community, in the conservative Republican community. And they just said, I don't know who my precinct chair is. And they said, we'd love to have somebody more active. And I didn't even know who the precinct chair was. So I said, well, I'll file, I'll do it. I don't have any problem knocking on doors. And so the point is to help get out the vote for the Republican Party, Republican candidates, any Republican issues. But ideally, I'd like to just engage more people in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I would like more people in our neighborhood to be fully informed, fully engaged, and to give them whatever information and resources they need to make their most informed vote. I don't have to know how you vote, and I don't even need to tell you how to vote. Plenty of people have different opinions, and there'll be, you know, 3, 4, or 5 Republicans in one race. There's going to be a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. My goal is to just provide you with, you need to know where a candidate forum is. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know where their website is? Do you want to know where you can go to meet them? Mm-hmm. Give them that information so they make their own decision.
Yeah.
That's what's great about America. You get to do that. And your vote is sacred. And it shouldn't. I don't think we should be airing out all over the place, you know, who we're voting for all the time, and especially not in the primaries. And if you're a party representative, you're not supposed to be endorsing anybody in the primaries. And so my role is to serve, to help people. And that's kind of the reaction I've gotten at the door.
Okay.
Is generally
good.
Wow. Okay. I've never had anybody come by.
Yeah. And I mean, seriously, ever. Yeah,
no. And but they should. And so you should know.
Have you? Anyone? I mean, we've been here around the same time. You're a few months more than me, but
I don't think so.
I don't think
not that I can really
come.
Remember. But
I do have a sign.
We seek people
out front that says no soliciting. Does that matter?
It doesn't deter me because essentially, if you've voted in a Republican primary, then you've identified yourself with the Republican Party. And so they'll even tell us at the Republican Party office, you're not soliciting.
Yeah.
You're supplying information to your allied voters. Mm-hmm. So
you're not trying to sell something.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No. Okay. And I, when I come to the door, I tell them, here's your voting information. I just want to make sure you have it. Do you know where to find your sample ballot? And then I say, I'm also on your ballot and I hope that I earn your vote. I need your vote to be official in this role. But, you know what? I've had some neighbors just say, oh my gosh, this is great. Can I come out and help you? I'll walk with you.
Yeah.
And so I've had a couple neighbors do that. And, just people say like, you know what? Do you have a sign? I'll take a sign. I'll put it in my yard. And so that's why you called me. You said, hey, wait, there's signs out here.
I know. I saw signs. I was going to, visit my chiropractor and I was driving through the neighborhood and I saw a bunch of signs and I was like, oh, the signs are out. She must like it. You know, it's out there. So
I think the school district was like, oh no,
not this girl again.
Not her.
Yeah. She's trouble.
The best kind of trouble.
Yeah. Well, what a great, spot for you to land right there. You know, I mean, I couldn't think of a better person to go out there and get out the vote for sure.
Well, thank you. You know, it's really important because, obviously it's a pivotal year. Pivotal elections. What we're seeing on the national stage is being replicated at the state level, is being replicated at the county level. This chaos we have among Republicans at all levels, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And so honestly, if more people engage and they put their vote into the mix, you're going to get candidates that reflect more of the people in the community. And frankly, we need that because when that doesn't happen, when there's a vacuum, we all know, you were just talking about this in your last book study podcast, money rules the day. It's some other special interest money buying political seats and favor. That is not representative of we the people. So we the people, get off your couch, get to the polls, make an informed vote, and make sure that those representatives reflect your values.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we call that in the Northeast, we call it hella corrupt.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And it doesn't take that many more voters to change elections in these, some of these small local elections, right?
Yeah.
Like not a lot of people are getting out there, you know? So, I mean, it could take, if you could just get, you know, 20% of people to get out there and vote, that would be a huge jump in participation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they're out there doing their homework and they have good data, they're going to be making better decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just basically helping people that are handicapped mentally with understanding what the ballot looks like and what it means, right? So,
well, people don't pay attention like to any of this stuff. Like,
no, I've had people say, do you have a ballot? And I'm like, I do. I have my picks.
Got
and
one
they're
right
like,
here.
Can we see it? Can I have one?
Yeah.
And I do give people that if they want it. I don't push it on people. But some people just want to be told what to do. And I think that's kind of unfortunate. But if you trust me to be your precinct chair, that's the point. I'm trying to build trust. Yep. If you trust me, you get to know me. We talk at your front door. We have things in common. You recognize that we're both conservatives.
Yeah.
Then they'll say, oh, yeah, I do. I do want to see it, but I always tell people, do your own homework, check your votes against mine. Maybe you'll find out where we align and where we don't, but that's, it's, you know,
which is fine.
Yep. You know? Due diligence, right?
Yep.
Do your own due diligence.
You have to, I mean, it, you know, cause that's what got us into this mess to begin with is people just blindly just, I'm going to go and I'm going to vote for this person. Cause that's
paying their Netflix subscription since they
that's who my friends are all voting for. I just know it, you know? So I'm going to vote for them too. Cause I don't know any better and I don't really care.
Yeah.
And then the older you get, the more you start paying attention and you're like, I don't know. Mm. Something seems weird. And then more people start to make more informed decisions, which, you know, but they're still sadly way too many. I think the percentage is way too high in favor of the ones who don't care.
Right.
Enough to, you know, it's evident by the number of people who actually go out and vote. Like I was talking about the school, like what was it? School board elections. Like what were they, like some of our guests last year were talking about
6,666 votes in the last school board election.
Yeah. Like that's
weird number.
It is a weird number. but also that, you know, there's so many more people of voting age in town.
That's right. And we have a lot of people within the district boundary that are here on permanent work visa, you know, either whatever work visas, long-term work visas that cannot vote.
Yeah.
And they are living in the district and it's frustrating for them too, but that's also a factor.
Yeah.
So there's a number of households, I think a significant number of households where that's the case. But yeah. But this is a pivotal year. You know, I think people are ticked about the border. People are ticked about, about the economy.
We're ticked about the border.
Yes, yes. Okay, so the border and then, you know, all the shenanigans within the Republican Party, like the Ken Paxton impeachment. If you, we didn't get election integrity. What the heck happened in the last legislative session that we didn't get election integrity? We didn't get medical freedom guaranteed.
Sellouts a lot is what happened. A lot of sellouts.
That's what I'm saying. Get to the polls. Yeah. Cast your vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, are people pretty receptive to you coming up and knocking on their door? I mean, how many people turn you away out of 10? You know, they're like, don't even start, lady.
I haven't been turned away at the door, actually. I will be honest. I had a couple of moms like out on the street watching their kids and they were outside of a household that was a Republican household. But when I walked up, they just, I don't give a shit about politics. It was like, and I said, well,
yeah, wrong crowd. See ya.
They're nice meeting you. They'll ruin your life if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So, I did get some of that. It was weird, 'cause they were kind of youngish moms, and I just thought, wow.
I've been like, are you happy with the gas prices? Are you happy with the food prices?
That's what I mean.
It's, are you happy with your electric and gas bills?
Right.
Are you? No. Are you really?
Do you like paying more?
Well, then maybe you should like politics or pay attention.
Well, you
got to
engage.
Least,
yeah. Even if
at
you don't
least
like them.
Just get some information.
It's a dangerous mindset. It definitely is. You know, it's that Fabian Turtle approach, you know, because they're just slowly crawling. It's the boiling frogs. There's so many examples, right? Yes. Like they just keep on turning up the heat slowly but surely.
Yep.
And none of these people even take notice, you know, because it's just so incremental.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like death by a bazillion cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a town like Prosper, where there's a lot of prosperity, I mean, in families, when there's a lot of economic prosperity, it takes a lot longer for those people to react to, you know, what we're seeing. They're not feeling the pinch as much.
No, of course not. They're a little more cushion, you know? But it's, you know, the crunch is widespread and it's everywhere.
I talked to one of our neighbors today and he is a small business owner, but a very successful one. And I hadn't met him before. But if you saw his vehicles around, you'd say like, oh, I know that they live in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
He just said to me today, things are slowing down significantly, even in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, really? The numbers he was telling me about in terms of the numbers of people that he reaches with his business were large. But he said, people have stopped calling. I think it's the economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there you go. There's your plumbers and your HVAC people and your landscapers. I mean, think about that. That's all, you know.
It's a huge trickle down, you know, and it all starts with the Federal Reserve, really, and the interest rates. And, you know, when money, the velocity of money slows, everything else slows. You know, it's a big ripple, big old butterfly flapping its wings.
Yeah.
So I think as the year goes, we're going to see the economic squeeze like tighten.
I agree with that.
You're going to see the
100%.
Yeah. We're going to ratchet up the politics over the economics. Right.
So,
well, there's so many Republicans, running for all these positions in our precinct. Like, I mean, the amount of Republicans versus the amount of Democrats on, the ballot is just, I don't know. What is it like?
Still
8-1, 7-1 Republicans.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people to keep track of.
Yeah.
You know, your pupil to student ratio is out of whack.
It is. But you know what? I really encourage people to just find a meet and greet or a candidate forum and go listen.
Yep.
You know, these people are going to be representing you either in U.S. Congress or in Austin. And you know what?
You were telling me that about, who is it? Somebody run for Senate? Is it Senate?
Yeah. Well, our Senate race, right? As Senate District 30. So let's talk numbers. Okay. If you live in Prosper and you're here in this 1016, so you're in Windsong Ranch, Artesia, that area, you live in one of these. So 1017 is the front side of the neighborhood in front of First Street, and 1016 north is side. The precinct on the north side in Artesia. And you have a House district. Our House of Representatives in Texas, 106, House District 106. Mm-hmm. That's Jared Patterson, and he's running unopposed, so he's our guy.
Yeah.
Right. He is a Republican. He passed the Reader Act, he's very accessible. People should reach out to him if they got questions. Our Senate is Senate District 30. That's Texas Senate. It's an open seat. Drew Springer had that seat before and he is vacating. So going back to private life. So there are four Republicans running for that seat. And it's super contentious.
Really?
Super.
Interesting.
Yes. So
somebody's got it in the bag for big oil, I'm sure.
I don't know if it's big oil.
And somebody else has got it in the bag for big construction. And, you know, I'm sure there's at least one or two of those. Big pharma.
Trojan horses everywhere.
Yeah.
/ big med.
Yeah. So you got the former county party chair who's running. Some people say he doesn't live in the district, and that's like all tied up in the courts.
County party chair.
The Denton County Republican Party chairperson. Okay, so he was the former chair, and he's now running for Senate District 30. But people say he voted over in Senate District 12 in the last election, and that he lives in a commercial building where his business is.
So, oh, really? Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. That's
well, maybe he just works a lot, right?
Yeah, probably a super lot. So much, like 24 hours a day. But so he's running, and that's all tied up in the courts. The other candidates are suing him over whether he belongs on the ballot. And then you have Dr. Carrie DeMoor, and she's an ER physician.
Seen her name.
And lots of money. A.G. Yeah. Paxton endorsed her, and there's controversy over her position on vaccines and
Is she distancing. Pro-vax?
It would appear so based on her history, but currently she says no. No.
Interesting.
Really?
I mean, people do change their minds. So, you know.
I mean, with the amount of information that's come out about them, I mean, couldn't.
Right.
Then you have Cody Clark, and he's a former law enforcement officer from the Denton area, and he now advocates for special needs kids down in Austin. And he's a super nice guy. Some people are like, oh, one issue candidate. But he did well in the candidate forum. So, and he doesn't get caught up in the fray. So he gets to just straight shoot and everybody else has to deal with fireworks and side fire and all kinds of other stuff.
He probably doesn't have any dirt on him. That's why. Cause he
sleeps well at night. Huh?
Yeah, I bet.
And then the last guy in the race is a guy by the name of Jace Yarbrough. And, he's, an attorney and he represented Angela Paxton in the, impeachment issues. He's a Air Force Reserve guy who put his reputation and his career on the line by speaking out at an Air Force retirement. So they tried to can him for talking about woke policies in the military. But I think he's got some lawsuits going on that. He's a pro-life guy. He started a classical school. So, you know, that's his answer to the school concerns.
Cool.
Created a solution. Anyway, we have an interesting field. People really need to get out and do their homework. There's a lot of contention over that race. People need to go do their homework and learn about those candidates and make a really good discerned decision there.
Yeah.
Wow. There's so many polarizing subjects out there right now, you know?
Yes.
So I don't know. It's almost like they're trying to divide us.
Well,
sure feels like it. I feel like we're in high school and they're like,
intentional.
You know what Jeremy called you?
Yeah.
Called you a little jerk.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably junior high.
Something else. But, you know, everybody's trying to get a fight going.
It's like a bunch of kids, you know, arguing over stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I don't know. I mean, people have different solutions for the, you know, indoctrination that's occurring in all of our schools.
Well, I think, you know, again, the problem is some people look at it as a popularity contest and then other people like are serious, you know, and they want to do something and affect some sort of positive change and result from their being voted into the seat, you know, and then that's having an opportunity to like make that change, and affect people positively. And some people are just like, they just want to like their name and lights. You know what I mean?
Well, look, the endorsements, the consultants, the money and the influence floating around. I mean, it is hard to sort of, I mean, it's a razor wire out there. It is. But that's not the only seat that has a bunch of Republicans running that really need your attention, because our U.S. congressional seat is also up and there's like 9 or something Republicans running for that.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest field I saw.
Yeah,
crazy. It's huge. Yeah, there's that many people.
Shaheen.
And do you have vote for like all these people on the same day? And it's like whoever wins out of those nine wins. Is that how it's going to be?
There's going to be a runoff. There'll probably a runoff for SD 30. If one candidate doesn't get more than 50% of the vote, so there will be a runoff. Yeah. And then also probably for the congressional seat. And frankly, I think if you were to just listen to the candidates, you know, some of them, I mean, they all, there's a few of them that sound really good.
Yeah, I bet.
But you got to do a little more digging and find out who's got, you know, the wherewithal to
from that sheer number of people, there's got to be at least a few that like sound pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sheer numbers game.
There's so many of them that sound so good, and then I don't know. There's just such a very few of them actually stick to their morals all the way through it.
Yeah,
you know? I just want to. It's really hard. There's so much peer pressure going on.
I want to know who got money from Democrat donors and George Soros. If anyone got money from them, that's a big red flag to me.
Definitely.
Like Nikki Haley got a bunch of Democratic funding money. Mm-hmm. And then all these Democrats went out and like voted for her in like New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, okay, you want to like try to game the system as best you can. I'm just curious to see if anybody, like, it's like follow the money, you know, the money's
always
important, where mm-hmm. the donation's coming from, who's their biggest donor is.
Yep.
Well, you get that in Texas a lot. You know, everybody's going to run as a Republican, no matter what their politics are. And it's really like, there should be a certain, like, I don't know why there isn't a certain level of qualification that you have to meet in order to file mm-hmm. as a Republican candidate. You know, if you're like, you know, pro-choice, pro-vax, pro-everything that liberal Democrats support, the most extreme.
Yeah.
Then how can you file as a Republican and still?
You know what? You really should. That is actually something. It's a little geeky. I get it. But go and read the Republican platform. It's good. It's solid. Really solid. The party's solid. And I mentioned before, it's a very grassroots, you know, bottom up sort of structure. It's designed for someone like me who really is interested in like getting out the vote in my area. If I were to be voted in as the precinct chair, then I would go to the county convention mm-hmm. and it would be an opportunity to bring forward resolutions, things that you want to be included in the party platform or amendments to current platforms or planks in the platform. Mm-hmm. It's a very active process. The party actually put up a whole resolution creator on their website to say, if you've got something, run it through here so it's in the right format. It's meant for grassrootsers to activate.
And how do you come up with the ideas that you would bring forth? Is it just from like continuing to knock doors and like talk to people and ask them like what they'd like to see? What are you having issues with? What are the problems that you think we're facing? Or like
it could be. To be fair, I still am very active in the public education space and legislative policy solutions there.
Yeah.
And so I have on our team has four key legislative priorities that we're going to bring forward.
Okay.
One of them is a new idea, brand new idea for Texas. So I will be creating a resolution, or our team will craft a resolution. And we're working with people, whether it's State Board of Ed, current legislators, current education folks,
right,
parents who've been affected. And we're just saying, would you get behind this? Would you come and testify for this? Will you show up and lobby for this? So you can bring a resolution from your little county precinct convention, or from your precinct convention to your county. So then it goes to Denton County, and you just get people to vote on it. They listen and they say, do I like the idea? That does sound like a good idea. Yes, I vote for that. If it leaves your county, it goes to the state convention. And at the state convention, you can share it with people all over the state. And if other county conventions also pass your resolution, you might see that it was passed by however many counties in Texas. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes up for debate as to whether it belongs in the state platform.
Okay.
And so I will be working my resolutions all the way up, because once those resolutions are voted on at the party level, at the state level, they become the top eight legislative priority solutions. Mm-hmm. And those legislative priorities are what drive the party to keep the Republicans accountable.
Okay.
A lot of politicians who wear an arm on their sleeve, mm-hmm. Have an R on the door, you know, at the Capitol, don't work to push those legislative priorities, the Republican Party legislative priorities. Mm. So you should pay attention to what they are, and you should know what they are. You should know what the top eight are. We should have gotten election integrity. We should have gotten medical freedom. Those were on the top eight.
Yeah.
That should have already been in place. I don't know why we always have to like double stamp stuff, you know, triple stamp it, double stamp it.
Can't triple stamp it, double stamp.
Yeah, like it's like, like we already said, you know, I mean, like what? I don't know. It seems like the Bill of Rights pretty much took care of all that
so
stuff.
So if you want a hot tip, a hot tip on a website you can go to. So if you want to see how your local legislators did, so if you're anywhere in Texas and you want to see how they did, you can kind of check out their right left litmus test. Mm. Go to grassrootspriorities.com.
Grassrootspriorities.com. Okay.
Grassrootspriorities.com, and you will see how they did in terms of
they really voting conservative way, the way that you would expect them to. Yeah.
Do they agree with, or do they disagree more often with Republicans or Democrats?
Man,
that's a great idea to have that accountability website, essentially tool in your bag.
Yeah.
The fact that you need that website is what pisses me off.
No, but you do need it. And I know. You know what? Thank God that it's out there.
Yes.
Grassrootspriorities.com. You can find out if you have a legislator that, I mean, you know, people have differences of opinions about a lot of things.
But sure. But
the impeachment of Ken Paxton, if that was unjust, and if you don't like that, you can find out if your legislator voted for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the information's there. Mm-hmm. You can go look up the bills, every bill that your legislator filed. And sometimes I was looking at another Denton County legislator, not our own, because she was at a forum and she was speaking about things, about how many bills she passed and whatnot. And I noticed when I went onto that website, most of them were like those, we commend so-and-so for their great work on this. You know, we commend the high school, whatever, underwater basket water.
Yeah.
Weaving,
basket weaving, you know, scuba, like welding.
You know? Hey, welding's great. Yeah.
No, underwater welding.
But I mean, okay, so do those things count as things you passed? I mean, they're just.
Yeah, I know.
They're not bills. Again, anyway.
That, you know, that brings me back to the popularity contest thing. It's like, let me just get my name out there as much as possible, get a lot of people paying attention to me, and then. If I get some of these things passed, I can say that I got them passed, and most people aren't going to look into it, you know, because they're lazy and they're just going to think, oh, hey, this person passed six bills.
Yeah.
That mean absolutely nothing, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, if you want to know the backstory, and this is very grassroots, I'm telling you, like, if this is for the average person to go and access it, there's some great videos on there. There's some great, if you want to know why the Texas House or the Texas
priorities.com.
Yeah. Why it's dysfunctional. There's a fantastic video. There's videos on there. It's a great tool.
I'm going to spend some time on this website.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to check it out.
You're
going to
find some good stuff there, but everybody should go there. If you're a Texas voter, go there and make use of that tool. It is super, super duper detailed and very easy for anybody to use.
Cool. Very cool. So tell us a little bit about like how you get to this point, because
how did I get to this?
You know what I mean? Like you move here from California, you know, you've got some kids that are like in their teen years and so mm-hmm. and such. And you get this kind of involvement in the local school stuff. And then now all of a sudden like precinct chair, like what's that trajectory look like in the short period of time that you've been living here?
Well, essentially, I learned in California that, you know, what it's like to live with the supermajority of the opposing party where none of your ideas will ever see the light of day. I worked on some legislation there and it was just basic transparency legislation. They still can't get anything like that passed. We weren't looking to overturn tables. We were just saying, hey, could we just see what you're going to teach, at least to the youngest kids? Mm-hmm. If you're going to teach sex ed and you're going to teach about everything under the sun, comprehensive sex ed, could we just have transparency on what's being taught to the K-5 kids?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They have it on lockdown in California. It's locked up.
You know who doesn't? San Francisco Unified. All on their website. So it's odd because they won't do it at the statewide level. But the most liberal districts, they just put it all out there.
Oh, because they know that they're like going to get 99.9% of the vote. So
it's It's crazy. So there was precedent, and we pointed to that. San Francisco Unified has all theirs out there on the website. Why can't we do what San Francisco does?
Yeah.
What? Weird. But so when I moved here to Texas, I think
things are going so well there, you know, yeah, why not?
I know.
People assumed, I mean, I did. I assumed that things were very, very different here.
Yeah.
And there are some differences and that I really appreciate. There's more freedom for sure. I do feel like I'm surrounded by more like-minded people. That's great. But the legislature does work different here. It only meets for 6 months out of every 2 years. Most states have a full-time year-round legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So Texans can go about their business for 18 months, but when it's leg session, you better wake up and pay attention or be prepared. You better be preparing in the off season for the 6 months you get.
So I hate that they do it that way. I think it's ridiculous because it's just like a bunch of hurry up and wait, you know what I mean? And then you're busy for 6 months, just kind of trying to figure it all out. And it's just not enough time. It's not enough time to get all that information out to people and get people to rally around something and then make some like really important decisions. About.
Oh, I think they could do it if they were focused, but we don't have a functional state house.
I mean,
politics isn't very functional period, right? Yeah. Like, but I mean, it does take a while to get these ideas going. Yeah. You know, you work. I mean, how big is our precinct? Right, they trying to keep it to 1,000 homes. Is
it's
that what you said?
Around, but this is definitely roughly bigger than that now. But yeah,
right. But that's what they're trying to keep it to, and this is one of the larger ones, just because it's such a ballooning district, right?
Right. Our precinct, and it's grown like over 30% more than than what it was in last voting. But I mean, once you go through this process once or twice, you realize I don't think most people who live here came from somewhere else. I don't think they know it's different.
Yeah.
And so as I've started to talk to people, I realized I have learned something that maybe a lot of people don't know. Maybe because I had to learn it and I've had to learn it quickly in order to try and be effective, maybe I could help other people understand it.
Yeah.
That's how I got here. I got here because people said, oh, I didn't know that. And it was like, oh, I didn't know that either. Oh, I didn't know that either. And I started digging into the law and I started digging into the process and I started looking at who's sitting in office and I realized, oh gosh, you know what? You guys need to be paying attention. You know, this happens fast.
It's that fight or flee mentality, right? Like, and people are fleeing in droves from Canada and California and all these liberal areas.
Yeah.
And they just want to come here and put it on cruise control.
They want to be left alone. Is what they do. They come here and they want to be left alone.
You have to do come and take it. You have to fight.
Yeah, you do. You can't just come here and be like, you know, I want to be left alone and just live my life, because it comes up and it bites you on the ass like a rattlesnake.
It sure does.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, like this is not what I came here for, you know?
Well, my fourth grader was telling me all about, you know, the Alamo and the come and take it flag and kind of the history of Texas. And I think it's just absolutely awesome that they're still teaching that stuff here, mm-hmm. you know, because it is so emblematic of the you know, the grand freedom feeling that you get when you think of Texas and the United States, you know, the traditional feeling that you get, you know, maybe not as much as it was anymore, but, you know, I mean, that's why they're here and they're teaching these kids this, and it means a lot to them. And he remembered a lot of this stuff, and he was sitting there telling it to me last night over dinner at Gloria's, right? Like all about it, because I grill him, you know, because I think just having people talk about it and tell me what you learned from this, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's so huge. It helps them understand.
Yeah.
I used to tutor in, you know, middle school and up, right? Like I'd tutor other kids, and I was like, they'd tell me thank you for tutoring me and teaching me how to do math and stuff, but I'm like, you know, actually it really actually helped me, because teaching you things only strengthens me. So
yeah, it helps with retention and recall and all those things.
Yeah So it's great that you know, it's just another reason why you just have to have an open dialogue, keep talking freedom, you know, keep sharing your ideas with other people and sending them up the chain, you know, to people like Aileen, so she can take it to the county, you know, precinct chair party.
Yeah. All the conventions, honestly, it's that. And it's also, like there is a variance, right? I get it. There is a spectrum of Republicans. I feel really strongly that we're at a point where we can't really play the field too much here.
Yeah.
If we really want to restore this republic.
That's the biggest problem.
Whether it's the United States or Texas, because you lose Texas, you lose the country. We have to elect the most conservative Republicans into office. This isn't really the year to play the field. We're on the precipice. Everybody knows we're at a tipping point. They really, really do. They can feel it.
Yeah. The vibration is high.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the frequency is high, yeah, right?
It is.
And I am respectful of anybody. I've met so many people at their doors and they start telling me about, oh, I used to be into politics and I this and that, and I don't like this and I don't like that. And I realize you don't want to ask me for my voter guide. And I don't offer it. They're allowed to have their opinion. It's just, if you're asking me and if you want me to represent this precinct, I'm going to be looking to bring in or to advocate for the most conservative, constitutional Republican who is truly conservative, that really has a God principle in their life, mm-hmm. because it matters, because this country was founded on it. And you won't understand what needs to be done if you don't see the moral compass needs to be real.
Oh, yeah.
With the people that we elect today.
I was explaining mm-hmm. morals to my 8-year-old earlier today. Yeah.
Has to be present.
Oh, yeah.
You have to know that about the candidate that you're voting for. That's who I want to see in office. There's so much division, county level, state level, all the different little tiers and the AG people against this House mm-hmm. Speaker and the governor and the school choice people against the non-school choice people. It's like we have a country to save. This is not the time to be playing politics. So
nope.
I do feel like I was called to something like this for such a time as this. I'm kind of a straight shooter, but I'm a gentle straight shooter. I'm not a jerk. I get that we have, variance in our opinions, but we just have to do the right thing. And I'm not afraid to push forward and get the right thing done and advocate for the most right thing. I listen and I want to serve and I will, if I had somebody say to me, I don't want to give you my email address. I don't want any more emails or requests for money. I said, you'll never get a request for money from me. Mm-hmm. And they said, but I would like to see a voter guide. I said, okay, I will bring you one. So I came back the next day and I rang their doorbell and I said, you asked for a voter guide. And they said, yeah, so here it is. And they said, and do you know? And they asked me about some candidates. And I said, I don't have it now, but I will bring back to you because you don't want to give me your email. I will bring back to you a flyer about where you can meet that candidate. And I came back the next day. They put my sign in their yard.
Did they? That's great.
Yeah. You know what? That's the thing. You know, I will serve whatever you need. If you're a Republican and you need info, I will serve and I will bring that to you.
Intel inside? No, Aileen inside. You know, like, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm relying on this chip.
But yeah, we got to do the most right thing. And this is the year. We need to unify people and we need to not be so polarizing and we can't be blowing up our friendships over, I like this candidate. I can't believe you like that candidate. You know, I'm like, just,
yes.
I know people get so butt hurt, it's ridiculous. It's like, man,
right.
It's okay. You know,
right.
It's all good. It's all in his hands.
Right.
This is all part of the plan.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing and take a deep breath. Keep calm.
Maybe just don't talk about who you're going to vote for. And like, if you really feel strongly about a certain candidate and you might have an inkling that other people are sorry. Just don't discuss it. You know what I mean? There's nothing that says you have to try to force somebody else to like the candidate that you like, you know,
right.
It's like, let them make their own decision as long as it's an educated decision. And that's, I think, the most important part. It's like, get the information out there to people and let them go out there and help them understand that they do need to do a little bit of research and a little bit of reading and just, to understand the dynamics of the voting season and make the right decision for
everybody's
them.
Everybody's on a path and you just got to help them take that next step. Yep. You don't need to tell them all about the treacherous scrap that's up ahead. You know, you don't need to tell them about that.
No.
You just need to make sure their shoe is tied and make sure they put one over the other, like just take a step.
Yes. Yeah. Just be an engaged Texan, cast a vote and make it an informed one.
Yeah.
It'll make you feel so much better about yourself. You know, I mean, just telling the truth, being honest with yourself, and this is your citizen. This is your responsibility as a citizen.
It is.
You know, to be active and involved in the process.
Right.
Because without it, we're gonna have a really disgusting cake to eat.
Well, I mean, Barna Research, you know, George Barna, he does a lot of research on the Christian community in the United States. And he says that like less than half of, you know, half of half, maybe a quarter of Christians are voting. I hope that that has changed in the last few years. But I mean, literally, if you are a person of faith, and I mean, it's even more important to bring your morals and your perspective into the public square. It's a mandate. You have to do it as a Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard preachers advocating for Taylor Swift, for example, not to bring that back up, but you know, it's just
seriously.
Like, there are some misguided churches in this world. And I just don't understand how they can take some of the stances that some of these people are taking. There's just some really confused
people. I don't even
want to
hear
her
name.
Well, I don't either, but you know, like,
at all.
I don't know. I mean, you're going to get it, you know, you're just going to get it.
Pastor or otherwise.
Yeah. That's the last thing I want to hear my pastor talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, maybe I do.
Not banned on DTF.
Yeah. No more.
But you know what though? I think if more people brought it up with their pastors, you know, I think if people told their pastors they want to hear this, they would know they're safe.
Yeah.
You know, they're so concerned generally about the 501c3 status, where they're going to violate the Johnson Amendment and all this other stuff. Look, They wouldn't. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Pastor Jack Hibbs in California. He goes, they say that I can't stand here and tell you X, Y, Z, whatever. And then he steps aside from the podium. And he said, so I'll stand over here.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, it matters where you're standing, right? It does. But I think to bring Taylor Swift back up.
Yeah.
Is that.
You're supposed to say no.
Thanks.
I think that God put Taylor Swift out here. To doing all these things, because it's a really nice door that I can kind of talk about the global scene with my daughter about, like, you know, because she's obsessed with her, and I can kind of like, you know, well, this is what she's doing right here, you know, and I just take this one little thing, like, let's not talk about every problem. Let's just talk about this one thing that's right in front of us, our next step, your shoes untied, whatever it is, right? Like, and just kind of isolate this issue that she's doing, like the box, right? Like, she's got a friend in there worshiping the devil next to her while she's taking shots. What do you think that's all about? You know, you don't have to sit there and say, tell us what's bad. You know, you can just ask a good question to your daughter and say, what do you think this is all about? You know, and you don't have to try and sway their mind anyway. They know what people inherently know what's right and wrong, right? Like, they just do in their heart. They know
morals. Yeah, they have moral compass.
They kind of know, you know. I mean, they kind of know for the most part. And
some would
they
say
can kind of figure
God
it out.
Talking to you.
They say it out loud, and they kind of start to be more and more honest with themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even if they make the wrong decision, sometimes the wrong decision can teach you more about yourself and what's right than making the right decision can.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as you make a decision, you know, you can get some really good reflectivity out there about what's actually going on and have a more, you know, realistic view of the world.
Yeah.
Right. And I think even, you know, participation just automatically, like, right, you put your money into a football pool, you're going to watch the game.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is. I mean, there's a lot of scripture that speaks to that, right? Like,
right. So you cast a vote, maybe you'll pay attention to what happens. You know, you have a discussion about what's going on with E. Swift, and you just
can't stop talking about her.
You might be, you know, looking for more of those signs and paying attention. It's always good awareness.
Yeah, whatever it is that the person you're needing to speak to can relate to, you know, and if it happens to be a 12-year-old girl, then T. Swift's a pretty good door to open. Yeah. You know, it just is. I mean,
yeah,
she's the biggest thing in show business, period. Like, she took over the NFL. And the NFL, if you look at like the top 100 rated shows of the last year and of almost every year, they're all NFL games. Every single one of them. Like, 93 or 94 of them. And the other ones, like the college football national championship. So, I mean, they're all just kind of like, it's all football related. And she comes in and is a huge distraction for football and the NFL altogether. So, I mean,
she's an
extremely impactful person. And, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, it's just pop culture.
She's going to be out with her Joe Biden 2024 cookies any day now on IG. Any day.
I love it.
No more cookies. No cookies for me.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Cut them out.
Lent tomorrow.
You're losing the cookies? Galletas.
No galletas.
No, yeah, galletas. I know. Well, our bilingual videographer is back in studio, yes, Daniel Ornelas.
Yes.
And I threw out that galletas for him.
He the man.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking about this race.
Yeah, I hope it was helpful.
It was great. I mean, I learned a lot. I think our listeners will have learned a lot, and I hope that more local people listen to this one and get an understanding of, you know, what this process is like, and maybe look for some more information. We'll take your information. We'll put it into the show notes. Maybe I won't put your phone number in there, but
grassrootspriorities.com. Do you have what's the best way that people can get in contact with you and share their ideas with you so they can take them to that big party you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. So either, you know, yeah, if you have a resolution that you think should be in the Republican Party, I'll lift it up for you. My number there is a Google Voice number, so you can share that number in my email, cool, and that will be on there. And I have a Facebook page. It's Aileen for Precinct 1016. It rhymes if you say it out loud.
Oh, that's here too. We'll include that.
And
Aileen for 1016. Yes, okay. Yeah.
I know. That's sung around my household. And I just like, just stop, you guys. But you know, for people who aren't right here in our neighborhood, I'm just going to encourage your watchers, listeners, go and find out. Go to your county Republican Party. Go to elections. Go look on your county elections website. And find out what precinct you're in. Yep. Find out what your number is. And if there's no one in that spot, really think and pray about it, because you have an opportunity to influence a lot of people and turn out the vote and be a positive force for change, right?
Yeah.
Positive change. And you know what, if there's somebody in that spot, reach out to them, say, hey, I just found out about this whole precinct thing. What can I do to help you? Can I help you get out the vote? And if you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote, because you won't be able to vote in the March primary, but you can in the, if you do it quickly, you can still vote in the municipal election and the general election. But whatever you do, cast your vote. Cast your informed vote. So even if you're not right here in our area.
That's fantastic advice.
Yep. Find out what your precinct. Advice. Find out where
you do have a lot of listeners and viewers that are not local too. Yeah. So it's good, because they should all just because we're talking about the local stuff doesn't mean that they don't get value out of the conversation. And it's not, while it's different here, it's not that much different in terms of the process and everywhere else. And so it's good to at least do a little bit of research, get to know the process in your area, and, you know, get to know who the people are.
Everybody's doing it.
Running the show.
Yeah. You know? Everybody. I mean, if I am.
Right. Like, I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, there's so many people on the team pushing this ball, and, you know, you can go be a part of that rowing club too. You know, I mean,
that's right.
Stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to have the position in order to do the work, right? I'm not a precinct chair now, but I'm out knocking on doors and getting people out to vote. So you don't have to have the position. You can work for it if you want it, or go help the person who does have it. But you can be a force for change. So do something. Don't sit this year out.
I know. Don't. Not in 2024.
No.
All right.
Thank you.
Are you listening? Damn.
All right, dudes and dudettes, that's a wrap for this episode of Dudes Talking Freedom. We hope you enjoyed the program and help us spread the freedom. For DTF, along with our special guest, Aileen Bukowski, this is Jeremy.
And this is Luke.
And we'll see you next time. Yeah.